News Network. He's not Rush. He's not Sean. He's Dan. Dan Newman. And as usual, he's got the inside scoop on what's really happening in D.C. and everywhere else in the U.S. and the world. TNN, the Truth News Network. Here's Dan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TNN, the Truth News Network. I'm Dan Newman with you today. And we're going all around the world when we talk about today's title for this podcast and story, Bullet Points. What ifs? There are so many things happening in the world today. Our country is flooded with unanswered questions. And our horizon apparently does not yet hold answers for each of those questions. Hopefully, we can scrape together realistic answers necessary to move the U.S. forward instead of trying to keep the boat afloat in one place in troubled waters. Very few of those questions cry any louder than the others for answers, but there are a few that stick out. Those that cry the loudest while remaining unanswered still seem to especially trouble most Americans. And today, we're going to try to chip away at a couple of those. So let's get started. What if? What if? What if we don't stop illegal immigration? Ever? It's anyone's guess. But there are some things that are certain if we don't. Don't listen to me. Listen to some folks who have a better inside track than I. For instance, what if we don't get it straightened out? Well, hospitals are closing across the country due to the burden of illegal immigration. College students find the summer jobs have dried up due to illegal immigration. And wages across the border depressed by the overwhelming influx of cheap and illegal labor. That thought, that what if thought, is from Elton Gallagly. Then there's secure our borders first. Let us know and let us make sure the American people know that we're taking care of the important business of dealing with the illegal immigration into this country. You cannot begin to address the concerns of the people who are already here unless and until you have made certain that no more are coming in behind them. That's from former Republican Chairman Michael Steele. Nearly 60,000 immigrants with arrest records, including 10 accused of murder, have been allowed to stay in the United States under the Obama-era Deferred Action for Children Arrivals. That's the DACA program. That's according to the Department of Homeland Security. 21% of federal inmates are suspected or confirmed to be non-citizens, according to statistics released by the Justice Department. According to the latest U.S. Census, only 12.9% of the total U.S. population was foreign-born. That number will continue to rise if we don't close the borders. And we move on. Illegal immigration is a crisis for our country. It is an open door for drugs, criminals, and potential terrorists to enter our country. It is straining our economy, adding costs to our judicial, healthcare, and education systems, so says Timothy Murphy. Besides taking jobs from American workers, illegal immigration creates huge economic burdens on our healthcare system, our education system, our criminal justice system, our environment, our infrastructure, and our public safety. That from Jan Ting. Then there's the current practice of extending U.S. citizenship to hundreds of thousands of anchor babies must end because it creates a magnet for illegal immigration into our country. Now is the time to ensure that the laws in this country do not encourage lawbreaking. Steve King. Protecting national security amounts to looking for needles in a haystack. The work becomes more difficult if the haystack is larger. Restricting immigration generally, and illegal immigration in particular, limits growth in the haystack and supports the protection of national securities. Those are just some of the consequences by continuing to allow illegals by the tens of thousands into our country without the benefit of properly determining which are qualified to even be here and which are potentially dangerous. In the meantime, there are quite a few important people who have previously weighed in on illegal immigration, encouraging Congress to take action to do so, like former Presidents Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and then, of course, Hillary Clinton, and even current Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat of New York, who said this way back in 2009, quote, "People who enter the United States without our permission are illegal aliens, and illegal aliens should not be treated the same as people who entered the United States legally," end quote. So, that is a list of the what-ifs if we don't stop illegal immigration. Don't go away. We're not through with our what-ifs. Next up, what-ifs about climate change. That's just ahead at the Truth News Network.
Subway Restaurant's Storytime Theater proudly presents Jack and the Beanstalk.
Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell something delicious. Hey, little fella, what you got there?
Oh, this? It's the big hot pastrami sub from Subway Restaurants.
Mmm, that does look tasty.
It sure is. Climbing that beanstalk out there makes you hungry.
You mind if I have a bite?
Sure! I'll trade you for that goose over there with the golden eggs.
You got a deal!
Hungry for something big? Then pick up a big hot pastrami sub from Subway Restaurants. Layer upon layer of delicious hot pastrami stacked high and toasted to flavorful perfection on freshly baked bread. Topped with pickles, mustard, and melted Swiss cheese, it's the perfect way to satisfy any giant-sized appetite. Big Hot Pastrami available at participating restaurants for a limited time only. See restaurants for details. Subway, eat fresh.
CBS, NBC, ABC, MSNBC, CNN.
An alphabet soup of lies, myths, and disinformation. For real nutrition, you need a full plate of truth.
TNN, the Truth News Network.
We're back at TNN, the Truth News Network. Talking about the what-ifs in our life. There are lots and lots of them, and we're answering just a few of those today. Let's move on. What if scientists discover in 50 years that factually there is no such thing as climate change, and that nothing man could do would change the atmosphere and atmospheric conditions significantly enough to alter that which nature does? What if? Well, in that case, Al Gore will certainly be proven to have been a psychopath with no factual basis for his global warming that morphed into climate change fraud perpetrated on a fawning political class of elitists. So too would be the ice agers from the 1990s who just as aggressively warned the then 3 billion Earth inhabitants that we were about to enter a new ice age that would destroy humanity and all known life on the planet. Plants, animals, and certainly man. If scientists discover climate change as a farce, mankind would have wasted trillions of dollars on scientific research, experimenting unnecessary and amazingly expensive processes to green the earth to stop climate change, trillions of dollars that could have been spent on feeding millions of dying citizens, providing unavailable and desperately needed health treatments to those from the most impoverished countries in the world, and reduced trillions of other dollars of expense unnecessarily used for the development, implementation, and operation of superfluous environmental gadgetry like catalytic converters on cars, California emission systems, and, by the way, the staggering governmental expense tacked onto tax bills for citizens of developed countries to underwrite these legal demands and requirements. If scientists find out it was a force, climate change, we could have had more trees and plants that would have enabled every country to grow more food instead of worrying about those trees and plants producing too much CO2, carbon dioxide, that, as we all know, is the primary pollutant of Earth's atmosphere. I'm certain there are other ridiculous regulations and even societal cultures that would have differed had we known today and found out 50 years from now that climate change was a fraud. Certainly the thousands of mostly high-paid scientists that governments and universities fund with tax dollars and private grants to conduct climate change research could have altered their career paths to use those same dollars and their intellect to research and develop cures and antidotes for a myriad of diseases that have for generations and for centuries crippled and slaughtered people on Earth from all nations. What if Senator John McCain, Republican of Arizona who passed away, had cast the deciding vote for the U.S. Senate to take up debate on the floor on the repeal replacement of Obamacare, instead of killing that debate and keeping Obamacare alive by casting the deciding vote to do that? Well, it would have allowed senators to, with the input of voters that they represent, as a group present, discuss, devise, and develop possible alternatives that could undo the horrific elements of Obamacare that have cost Americans and the U.S. government hundreds of billions of dollars since Obamacare's implementation. We don't know that it would have done it, but there could have at least been debate and then decisions to either move forward or to stop be made based on factual information. If that had happened, the door would literally still be open to partnerships with existing insurance companies, health maintenance organizations, hospital groups, private and public retirement funds, even government employee retirement funds and pensions, to develop and implement group health care plans that would pinpoint citizens with segregated health needs for specific health conditions to provide state-of-the-art health care at specialized pricing to citizens for being in those specific groups. The federal and state government partnerships could assist those groups with costly conditions by providing partial underwriting that would spread those costs across a large segment of the population, therefore bringing the price down. That would automatically reduce the cost of individual health care across the board for everybody. We'll never be able to do that because John McCain cast the deciding vote to even limit debate on the floor of the Senate. The American public's opinion of Congress would have taken a strong tick up. The American public no longer seems to just hold disdain for members of Congress. American citizens actually distrust, on the most part, members of Congress and do not believe congressional members are honest, hardworking, and committed to the people. You know, people that feel that way may have it wrong, but perception in America is almost always reality. And as far as people in America are concerned, doesn't matter what the truth is, people think it's so, so they're going to respond like that is the way it is. And I honestly, if people believe it's so, it's got to be that way. Let's move on to another what if. What if Barack Obama had not had all of his educational records, that includes high school, college, and law school, sealed, along with all of his personal regular records, including health records? Well, the birther rumors that still run rampant in America and around the world, even after his 8 years as president, would have been quickly dispelled. Even now, experts who downloaded and professionally examined the official Obama birth certificate posted on the official White House website question its authenticity based on several of their findings. But you know what? Those experts or hesitant to even speak up because everybody who even entertains the idea of a remote possibility of Obama being born outside of the United States is excoriated. And really bad things have happened to some of those people. So nobody will go there. If Obama would release all of that, Americans would never have grounds to question the official accounts of the history of the 45th president when those stories are officially added to the annals of all the U.S. presidents in generations to come. It cleaned things up. If he would do that, far more of the legislative agenda items that Obama and members of his administration and Congress during his 8 years proposed might have been passed and signed into law rather than being shelved because lack of trust of the president kept legislators from supporting those. That big question mark, that real big question mark of never knowing, still hangs out there all these years after the original questioning began about President Obama's records. Those records, think about it. College, he went to a couple of different colleges. Those records are sealed. Not only can anybody not find out how he went to college, was he on a scholarship? Where'd he go to high school? And did something special happen there that gave him special entry into the California college that he went to? And then going to law school is very, very expensive. And we do know that President Obama did not come from a very wealthy family. How did he make it through there financially? What did he do? Just questions that are hanging out there that almost without exception, every other president in U.S. history has made available the answers to such questions. What if we find out that extraterrestrial beings really exist and have for as long as people on Earth have been here, and that multiple governments knew and withheld that information from world citizens? Well, we would know for certain we missed opportunities of aggressively exploring other worlds and those beings that live out there in those other worlds. We would have been able to learn from members of those worlds if there was technology available to make Earth a better place for its inhabitants, available known cures for earthly diseases along with possible immunity treatments for preventing diseases. We would have saved trillions of military dollars allocated and certainly spent through decades for research, infrastructure cost, and security to keep information about those extraterrestrials in secrecy unnecessarily. We don't have a clue how much money has been spent by the United States military in doing such things. What if abortion is discovered to be killing a living human, that life actually begins at inception? What if? That would mean tens of millions of humans have been slaughtered needlessly through human history. It means that in doing so, the lives of individuals who could have possibly performed amazing services to humanity in unthinkable ways would have been snuffed out in abortion clinics, preventing those services from ever being available. It would mean that millions of men and women would have, by the definition at the federal and state level of murder, would have committed murder and been complicit in murder every time an abortion was carried out. It would mean tens of millions of people who could not have babies could have adopted those aborted children. And those aborted children, when raised by those good parents, could have provided all of the things that the United States and other countries where they would be living could have possibly gained from their existing. And there's one thing we've got to do right here. You're listening on this podcast, so you can't watch a video right now. But on the website, we have posted an ad, a pro-choice ad, devised and published by Planned Parenthood. I hope you will look at that ad. It's only 60 seconds long. And I'll just give you the synopsis here. Of course, if you're reading this on the website, you're already seeing it. It's a close-up video of a little baby girl with a sock hat on, very close, smiling, looking right into the camera. And for about 10 seconds, you see her picture, you hear her laugh, and then it goes to black screen, and it talks about one sentence at a time. This girl deserves to be loved. This girl deserves to be a choice. And then a third sentence. The whole gist of the story is she's alive, and we don't know if she deserves to be alive. It's the most abysmal Planned Parenthood allegation or real video that I have ever seen. And it is tearing the nation up. I can't believe that it was even allowed to be published. I have no idea who told the producers of the commercial the content and structure of this ad would create an ad with a good message for Americans. But whoever did that either never had or has lost any credible ability to reason. If not that, they were eaten up with inability to navigate through the possible emotional and mental responses that this ad would generate. Most of those would be explosive and not in a good way. So let's summarize today's story. We could each spend hours and even days thinking about and discussing what-ifs in our lives and those from other lives of people we know. We are told by mental health professionals that it is unhealthy to obsess about such things, things that we can in no way change. But you got to agree that regarding some of the what-ifs we mention above, humans have the ability to change them before they occur or prevent them from ever happening. How? By making different decisions, often long before each of these actually happen. Usually the important events in our lives happen not because of one thing or just one occurrence. They almost always result from a chain of decisions that we make, which all together result in the above outcomes or other outcomes, but they all result from choices, whether many linked together or sometimes just one. No one, as far as I know, can actually tell the future. To that end, it is probable that before you die, you will, as will I, make many more decisions in our lives that if our children or their children look on, we'll be able to ask the what-if question about our decisions. That's an absolute of human life. And unfortunately, some of those choices will not be good ones for us or others in our lives. And some that we think are good may end up not being good. So what does all this mean? Here's what it means. We should all be more thoughtful, more learned, more precise, more deliberate in making our choices. I know sometimes we must make decisions quickly. And when that happens, the decisions we made sometimes are not the correct ones. It also means that we do have the right and the obligation to make tough choices and to do our best to make sure they are the right choices to the best of our ability. That is all that those close to us have the right to expect from us. And it, too, is the only justified right we have to expect from others. Sometimes our choices work out for the best, and sometimes they don't. But one good thing about humanity is that we all live in the same or similar type of bodies. We all have brains capable of reason, and we all can and should let reason prevail in the majority of choices that we make. Can we get control of those and choose to make those decisions good ones more often than they are bad? What if we do? What if we don't? I think we have some examples of that detailed above. Hey, think all this through. This is one you may want to read on the webpage, see that video, and then maybe listen to the podcast again. This is a heavy one, but it's very, very important. There are a lot of what-ifs in the world that we can actually change. Thank you for joining us here today. Stay really close. A lot going on in our world around us this week. We're going to be back with some more important information in the next few days. Stay tuned to the Truth News Network. So long, everybody.
Always get the truth on TNN, the Truth News Network. Find it exclusively at truthnewsnet.org.